Now this is my kind of party. Grab a friend, bring the guns. It's time for the Co-Opticast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Co-Opticast. This is episode 74 for Monday, September 26th, 2011. Stay a while and listen.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Yes. I'm Mike, and I'm joined by Nick, and we're going to do a little what you've been playing, but I'm pretty sure that only a couple titles of note are going to be on this, and one of them is something that you're going to be hearing an awful lot about this entire episode, and that would be the Diablo 3 beta, which both Nick and I have been playing a good deal of. So aside from that, Nick, what have you been playing?
I've been pounding through the Gears of War 3 campaign, played a good chunk of it in four-player co-op, and then pretty much the rest of it I've actually been playing with Kat in two-player co-op. And it is really, really well done. And they do some stuff in it that, in terms of emotion and stuff, that were kind of unexpected. And I definitely got choked up at some point. It's a really good use of music and stuff. So,
what, did Mad World start playing in the middle of a firefight?
You'd be surprised how close you are.
Excellent.
So I will say that they tip their hat to just about every trailer that they have made.
Interesting.
In some way. So we are in the last act. Kind of. I think we got like two or three more chapters. Actually, we're getting pretty close. But yeah, this is very well paced. There's, you know, good comedic relief and stuff. Lots of dialogue. New weapons are a lot of fun. Obviously, Horde mode is really cool now. They added some strategy elements to it. And then there's persistent stuff across all of what you do, you know, unlocks here and everywhere else. So,
excellent.
So good stuff there. I played through Renegade Ops with Andrew, which was a lot of fun for a twin-stick shooter, very polished. Graphically, probably one of the best ones out there to date. It's running on the Just Cause 2 engine. It's one of those things where, like, there's just a ton of detail in the game in terms of, you know, you got these little things on the screen, but they have a lot of character to them, and you can see little things going on, so.
Look like it had a lot of attitude.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it's got the most out of place voice though for the main general. Both Andrew and I agree because the character it's like done in a comic style. He's kind of like this grizzled war veteran. Yeah, he's a white guy with big mutton chop beard kind of thing going on, and he sounds like a 22-year-old black man. So that's kind of odd, but other than that, you know, it's just a really solid game. It's got a lot of length to it too. The missions themselves, like for twin stick shooter, 20-25 minutes a mission.
That's not bad.
There's about 9 or 10. Obviously, if you have more players, you can kind of split up the duties of the mission because there's a lot of open world kind of things to it. You'll be kind of going back and forth and bringing things here and there. So pretty solid overall. I've also been playing a game, I don't know if you, I think this is out on other platforms actually as well, but called Implode on Windows Phone. It's kind of like Angry Birds, but, it's like a geeky engineering version of it. You have to blow up buildings and bring them down in certain ways and below certain levels to score.
Interesting.
So, like, you have to, the earlier levels, you just have to get the pieces to fall and get low enough to the ground. But the later ones, you actually have to make sure you bring them down so they don't hit other buildings. And it's all done in this, like, chalkboard-looking style. It's pretty addictive, and I'm usually not
so
one to
get... like crayon physics with mission objectives?
Yeah, basically. That's a good comparison. So I've been playing that, and it's been pretty fun. And then I've also been working on an XNA game, so I've actually been spending a lot of time doing that. And yes, it is a co-op game.
Of course.
And I'm sure I will be talking about it over the next, I don't know, our goal is to get it done around April in time for the Dream Build Play contest and maybe submit it to that. So we'll see how it goes.
Would kind of be an interesting thing to do on the site, kind of document how that goes from time to time.
Yeah, so I mean, I started up a blog for it and I've been kind of doing some stuff with that, and it might get to a point where I start cross-promoting it with it. But right now, it's pretty ugly and kind of embarrassing at this point. It's just a lot of, like, us getting systems in place and seeing how things work and stuff, and then we'll build the game around it. But so it's just me and another buddy working on that. But I am bringing some other friends in. I've got somebody that's doing some 3D models for us of spaceships and stuff like that.
Nice.
And actually, Kat is helping flesh out a backstory for us. This is like, it's kind of funny because this is something like I've had in my mind since like 7th grade. We've had like different pieces of it at different times, and we've had like the world since then. And so it's just been kind of drug along since then. So it's a interesting thing to finally make this. Cool. So yeah, that's about it.
Well, in addition to Diablo 3 and, you know, still settling everything in when, you know, because of my move, I've picked up Deus Ex Human Revolution, and I'm having a whole lot of fun with it. It really feels like a Metal Gear Solid game. I don't know if you got that feeling out of what you played, but...
I guess, but it's, you can play it how you want. Metal Gear Solid almost forces you to be sneaky, where this you can...
I found this has forced me to be sneaky just because of the way I've chosen to build my character.
Right, but
I can basically take one hit.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and that's been the biggest gripe of the game is that while the game itself lets you do what you want, the boss battles don't lend themselves well to non-aggressive character builds.
It's true, but I only beat the first boss so far, but it was pretty easy. I only died once on it, and everyone is talking about how horribly awful they are. I don't know if they're, you know, griping because they, you know, they force your no-kill run to actually kill people or things like that, but, you know, I'm having a lot of fun, been enjoying the little references to the, you know, the original game, and I actually saw in the graffiti in one of the... early areas, there is a dope fish. So, you know, for all you Commander Keen fans.
Oh, nice.
Out there, there's a reference. So let's talk quickly about this week in co-op, and then we can get to what we really want to talk about.
Sure. So let's run down some of the news. One of the things that popped up today while I was putting together the week's releases was there's a new Jane's game coming out. If you play PC games in the last 15 years, you probably remember... the Jane's Flight Simulator games, anything from, what was it, Apache Longbow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had helicopters, they had jets. They had a submarine game, too. Right, there was a sub one, and then there was a tactical fighting one. And anyway, there's a whole bunch of them. They all paled
in comparison to Longbow 2, I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, that was my favorite of the series as well. Anyway, they kind of disappeared for a while. In fact, I was doing some research, and it looked like 2002 is the last time a Jane's game was made. And actually, at that time, it wasn't a Electronic Arts published title. I think it was Microprose actually published it, maybe?
Interesting.
Which doesn't even exist anymore. But it's back now. Somebody else has the Jane's license, and there's a new game coming out. And it's 360, PS3, and PC, has a full 4-player co-op campaign, but... looks a little more arcadey than Sim-like. We'll see how that goes. Came out of nowhere. Like, it's out tomorrow. So by the time
it's like that Silicon Knights X-Men game, which is also coming out tomorrow. And, you know, I thought it was like a next year game.
Yeah, there's just no marketing behind it. There was a lot of people. There was some talk on Twitter today about that. And people were like, they didn't even send review copies out for it.
So, I wonder how good it is.
Yeah. So that is what it is.
Not as good as Too Human, apparently.
I guess not. Let's see, Dark Souls. So the game has a free collector's edition, basically. If you pre-order it, you can pre-order the collector's edition. And that was going to come with the soundtrack and art book, metal case, making of video, a whole bunch of stuff. But I guess they've kind of tweaked it. And I'm trying to think what dropped. Let me look here quick. The soundtrack was going to be MP3 format now, and the book is in a PDF format. So they kind of changed some of the stuff into a digital format. instead.
But. Well, if you remember when Demon's Souls came out, there was a whole issue where if you pre-ordered it, you got the strategy guide, and the strategy guide had, like, a bad print run.
Right.
So they might be avoiding something like that again.
Yeah. So, it's, you know, speaking of strategy guides, something interesting you're going to be seeing coming up on the site. I've been talking with Prima Games about the strategy guides and stuff, and we're going to be doing some partnership stuff with them and giving away some strategy guides for stuff. But the better part of what's going on, and hopefully the end result, is we'll be able to see more co-op content in strategy guides from them, because it seems to be lacking. And so I told them, you know, we can help. So hopefully that pays off. We'll see how that goes. But we do have a contest coming up for Rage. We'll be giving away Rage strategy guides and copies of the game and stuff like that. So anyway, a little tangent. Sorry about that. Battlefield 3, the co-op design details were revealed. You know, when it was announced that it was only a two-player co-op game, a lot of people were a little bummed. But when you hear the developer talk about why they did it in terms of, you know, design structure, it kind of makes sense. You know, when you have just two players, you can, you know, there's always going to be two players in co-op, so you can do things there. But if you have two or maybe three or maybe four, there's some things that you can't do. And like one of the examples they said is like, you know, you might always have somebody in the air and somebody on the ground, and stuff like that. So they designed a lot of the mission structure to be, where things are done in tandem, they said. So that should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, and you know, if they're trying to design for two players, you know, if it was say up to four players, they'd either have to make things loose enough to accommodate four players or scale it directly,
right,
depending on who's there. So they would have to design a different way for three and a different way for four.
You know, it's like the excuse you always get where they say, "Well, we didn't put co-op in it because it ruins the single player experience." Well,
right.
it's kind of the same in the sense that we didn't add more players than two because we're designing this epic experience for two players, you know, and it's easy. You know that there's going to be two players. Like I said, if there's three players, there might be two, there might be three. So you have to change things there. So pretty interesting to hear. You know, a lot of people don't think about that. They're kind of just knee-jerk reaction. Oh, only two, blah, 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 whatever. So, moving on, this just came out today, A Valley Without Wind. It's a game I've been following from Arkane Games, the guys that made AI War. It just hit beta today, and they put out a demo which lets you, I think it says, get to level 6. But if you pre-order the game, you can unlock...
It's half off.
Yeah, you can pre-order the game for $10, then you get a key, and then you basically have access to the full game now. The beta, as it stands now... It doesn't support multiplayer because they didn't release the server software yet. But Chris Park, the guy that owns the studio, told me that they're definitely going to be releasing that soon. And then over the course of the beta, you'll be able to check out the co-op in that game. So that's looking pretty good. It's kind of like a side-scrolling Castlevania-ish meets Minecraft kind of game. It's really, really pretty ambitious. So we'll see how that does. I usually like what those guys do over there, and they're heavily focused on co-op. They're all about co-op, so. Gears of War 3. We know that there's plenty of DLC planned, at least four content packs if you buy that season pass. So at least one of those content packs, or included in some of the content, is going to be quote-unquote new co-op experiences. So whatever that means, I don't know. Sounds like a new beast mode or horde mode or some kind of variant of that to me.
I'd say bro hug mode.
That could be epic.
It could.
So that's coming in the coming weeks and months, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that. It's pretty amazing how long the life cycle is for some of this DLC. You look at the Call of Duty Black Ops. They just released their last piece of DLC and were like a month before the next Call of Duty game comes.
That's pretty insane.
You know, so, I mean, those people that are like hardcore on it, it's, they're getting their fix all year round, every couple months, so we'll see. Red Orchestra 2, it came out. I totally forgot that they were going to include a co-op mode in it. And apparently so did the developers, because it came out without the co-op actually in it.
Well, I had actually downloaded it and was looking for the co-op, and I was like, huh?
Yeah, because they even at release, they touted the co-op mode. So when I went looking for it, I was like, I can't find it. And I sent an email off to their PR guy, and he said, oh, it's not quite in there yet. It'll be included in an update. But I guess they're having a lot of bug problems, so a lot of their team is concentrated on fixing that stuff first, because it's primarily a Versus game.
When I play it, it's basically a experience where I run 100 yards and get shot by a guy I can't see, and then I run 100 yards and get shot by another guy I can't see, and then I hide in cover and sneak up and go about 100 yards and get shot by yet another guy I can't see.
Yeah.
So a co-op mode would be very welcome.
Yeah. Let's see what else. There's a really slick looking demake, or I guess it's a demake, I don't know what you want to call it. It's a 8-bit, 16-bit beat-em-up based on Team Fortress, or set in the Team Fortress 2 universe, called Team Fortress 2 Arcade. It's got all the character classes from Team Fortress 2, and it's a side-scroller. Each character has its own abilities and stuff like that. It should be out any day. It's going to be totally free download on the PC.
I think we had it listed for the 5th.
Okay, yeah, he had said that he was shooting for late September, early October at this point. Originally, it was supposed to be late summer. But he said he was just going to miss that. It's basically one guy working on it. This guy's made a bunch. He made the Left 4 Dead demake.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like what he specializes in. So it should be pretty good. I think it's only local co-op, but still. Good party game, I guess you can say.
Right. So that's got Valve's blessing?
I guess so. I mean, he made the Left 4 Dead thing, and they didn't say anything, and it's delicious. He has a Halo one up there as well. And
interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess since he's releasing it for free, and I don't know. Nobody seems to say anything. It might just not get enough exposure that it garners that. I don't know.
There's a lot we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to his site, though, every game he has on there is based on an existing franchise.
Yeah.
They're all free to download. They're all kind of side-scrollers or top-down shooters based on that franchise. A couple quick things. Rage will ship on 3 discs for the Xbox 360. You know, I have the game right in front of me. I didn't even open it yet. Not a big deal to me. I don't know. I would rather something come on multiple discs instead of me sitting through the hour of time it took to play Resistance 3 on the PlayStation 3.
So that wasn't just Ben Kutera who had that problem?
Oh, no. It took me an hour. I didn't have to do any firmware updates, but I had to do 2 patches for the game as well as the install.
What?
It was ridiculous. So the install itself took about 20 to 25 minutes. The one patch was like 600-some meg. That took like 20 to 25 minutes, and then there was like a 20-meg patch, and that took like 5 minutes. It was just, it's absurd. There's no reason it should take me. When I sit down to play a game, I have to wait an hour to play it.
It seems patently ridiculous to me that we're, 5 years into the PS3's lifespan, and this problem still plagues the system.
Yeah. And he had the problem, too, of the install. He couldn't do it because he didn't have enough free space. I hit that. The last game I played on there, I didn't have enough free space, so I had to clear off a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
So, it's annoying. There's actually a great article by Jim Sterling, of all people. It's not on Destructoid. It's on another site. He does a lot of freelance work, and he addresses it, and he talks about the online pass thing, too, and how it's just got out of hand. He's like, when did this all become... When did console gaming become more of a burden than PC gaming? Like, right? That used to be the argument. Console gaming was supposed to be easy. And now it's the freaking opposite. You fire up Steam, you play a game. I mean, I rarely have any issues playing PC games anymore. And, you know, Steam even keeps you up to date with drivers and stuff for your things anymore. But consoles, I mean, the online passes and jumping through hoops and patches after patches and firmware updates. The PlayStation 3 is notorious for firmware updates every 2 weeks.
Yep. Yeah, there have been at least two firmware updates since I moved out here.
It's unbelievable. Yep. It's unacceptable. It really is at this point.
And then you look at something like Uncharted, which, you know, you get like a minute-long load time before the game boots up the first time, and then you never see anything. And it looks better than all these games that have, like, hour-long installs.
Like, I guess Blu-ray, I mean, I don't know if Uncharted does it or not, but I guess the Blu-ray, the seek times are so bad that it can't simultaneously basically install it while you're playing. You know, like some games are basically able to cache on the fly as well as load the stuff and do. But I guess Blu-ray, because there's so much space and the seek times are so bad, it just, you can't do it without taking a big performance hit. So, anyway, that's my little rant on that. See what, where that goes, but. Rawr! Halo Reach, you can finally play it in co-op on those 4GB Xbox Arcade Elites or whatever they're calling them, Xbox S's. I guess the S system, right?
Xbox Intro Pack. I don't know.
Whatever it is, but there was a glitch in it, a bug in Halo, where you couldn't play any of the co-op modes unless you had a hard drive in that. They finally patched it. Yeah, only a year too late.
Yeah.
Just in time for, I guess, for...
anniversary.
The Halo anniversary, so... That's good. And Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City, I didn't realize it, but apparently... Capcom had promised a winter release. They wanted to remind everyone that winter is starts December 21st.
So they're saying winter is coming.
Yeah, winter is coming.
Excellent.
So that's our news. But let's talk the good stuff. Let's talk Diablo 3.
Yeah, let's talk about Diablo 3. The beta started last Wednesday.
It was Tuesday. It was the day Gears of War 3 came out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so the beta started on Tuesday, and Blizzard was kind enough to pass along enough keys for most of the staff members who actually wanted to play it.
Yeah, I was shocked.
So Nick, myself, Jason, Tally, and
Mark
have all been playing it, and if we've been a little bit out of touch lately, it might be because we are... You know, we're like addicts who've fallen off the wagon. And we've been playing the Diablo 3 beta, and it's very different than Diablo 2, but I feel that everything so far has been an improvement. I know not everybody seems to think so, or agrees. I posted an article about the Wizard today on the site, and I said, one of the great things about the skill system and the way they've given you the new hotbar is that you can have 6 abilities and each one can be assigned to a hotkey. And I said it was really annoying in Diablo 2 that you could only ever really have 2 abilities active at any given time. And then if you wanted to use a different one, you had to, you know, click the correct function key for what you had bound its shortcut to, which reassigns your right mouse button so you could activate the ability. And then hit another function key to click back to what you were using before. And I basically got accused of being wrong, that was annoying. Personally, I like to press a button once and have it do what I want it to do. So where should we start? Should we start with the co-op?
Yeah, let's talk about how the co-op works and some of the improvements there. The biggest one for me is the banner system, like when you join a game to warp to the player. Like, it's been a long time since I played, like, Diablo 2 and Heavy Co-op, but I seem to remember running, like, forever to find my friend while I was playing.
Well, what you really did a lot in Diablo 2 and Co-op, if you didn't both start, if the players didn't all start together, is whoever everyone needed to get to would drop a town portal.
Right, yeah.
And then you'd pop in and, teleport to them. But if they ever took their own portal, the portal would disappear. And every now and then that would lead to other players having to pop portals to get players back in sync. And it was kind of annoying. I mean, there's no load times in Diablo 2, so it's not like it was a particularly egregious offense. But it was fairly janky. impressive for the time, but as the years, you know, wore on and co-op advances came out, then it was a little like, okay, guys, this is weird. But yeah, the banner system's nice. I think one of the biggest changes I like is the fact that characters can heal.
Yeah.
So, you know, your buddy's in danger and you might be able to, you know, have an ability that gives kind of a spot heal, and how the health orbs that drop.
Yeah, they heal everyone in a radius of it, yeah. I guess. So that's definitely nice. And the shrines as well affect
the shrines everybody. Affect everybody that's close enough to receive the blessing. It's, you know, it takes a lot of the competitive nature out of that was in Diablo 2. Like, now whenever an item drops, you're the only one that sees it, with the exception of the health orbs.
Yeah, it's completely
instant. So if this epic, you know, if this epic or legendary weapon drops for you, it's not a mad dash to go, you know, click spam until you get it. It's yours, and then you can, you know, trade with other players like before. And, you know, running over gold to pick it up rather than having to click on it, it's a huge
things.
Improvement. But the biggest change, and the one that's going to draw a lot of criticism from the hardcore Diablo 2 players, I feel, is the fact that you are not locked into any specific character build. As you level up, every level or every other level or so, you gain a new ability, whether it's an active ability or a passive ability. And you have the ability to select up to six active abilities and three passive abilities to carry into combat. You can bind them to the 1 to 5 keys on the keyboard and right and left clicking on the mouse. And you can change those at will. You know, when I was running around and screwing around on my own with my wizard, I said, hey, there are a bunch of melee abilities. Let me check that out. And rather than saying, oh, well, I put points into all my frost abilities so far, I can't really do that. I could do it. I could mess around and change strategies on the fly. And I've actually seen some footage of people in the beta during a boss fight, didn't realize that there wouldn't be as many opportunities to heal, so they would switch out in the middle of combat what they were carrying so they could do some healing. I feel it gives a bit more power to the player. It lets you be a little more experimental. You're not putting, you know, like 40 hours into a character then realizing that your character build isn't viable for Hell mode, which is very possible in Diablo 2. The other big change is that when you gain a level, you don't assign your attribute points anymore. You gain them in a set, set arrangements. And I kind of missed it at first, and then I realized how annoying it was in Diablo 2 to, you know, play online and want to do Hell mode and realize that you have to put like 1.5 million points into Vitality. And, you know, as a spellcaster, you didn't really want to put much into your mana abilities because you could, you know, find other ways to gain it back. But, you know, you wouldn't learn that really until you'd already gone through the game once and found out your character was kind of useless.
Yeah. So let's talk about the other big change you just kind of brought up, is that there's no more mana or, you know, it depends on the character, but basically there's no alternate thing you have to worry about, right? So like I played a monk, and the monk basically gets spirit. And so his active abilities, as you use them, you gain spirit, and then you have, or, you know, passive abilities. And then as you gain spirit by using them, you get other abilities that consume it. So instead of having to worry about picking, you know, do I have enough mana potions, or am I regenerating enough mana to do this ability, you just, you know, how you play the game affects how often you can do certain things.
Right.
It's pretty interesting. It's definitely, it gives some different flow to combat. I really liked it. I like not having to worry about another, you know, little globe down there.
Well, I like not having to, you know, spend half the game mashing potions.
Yeah.
And then when my potions ran out, going in and portaling back to town, buying a bunch of new ones, and rearranging them in my belt.
Right.
You know, the health potions still exist in the game, but they're on a 30-second timer.
Right,
so
yeah.
you can hit one in a pinch if you really need it. Otherwise, you have to, you know, worry about picking up the little healing orbs that drop. Other nice things are, you know, like the Cauldron of Jordan that lets you, is it the cauldron that lets you break down things for crafting and, or is it the cube?
I think it's the cube.
So there's a crafting system in place, and rather than sell your items, you can break them down into their base components. Obviously higher quality items give better, reagents to use in the crafting. So you can do all that, just from your inventory. And you can actually sell things right away as well. Just basically, it's kind of like the transmuting you could do in, Deathspank did that? Where you could just, you know, kind of sell stuff right out of your inventory.
Yeah, yeah, there's a couple games that have implemented that.
Torchlight let you throw it all on your pack animal and send it back to town, but I feel this is a little more streamlined.
I like the little snake spell you can get that. You get the snake that'll collect the gold for you.
Yeah, you know, the companion.
Yeah, it's a nice little new touch. So the beta is definitely a tease. Like, you know, you only get
2 to 3 hours out of it.
Yeah, if even that. But it is nice to be able to go through and basically play that content with all the characters and just see how different it feels. I started up a barbarian. And he's pretty fun because, like, he just, like, literally, like, knocks guys around. Like, there's a lot of, like, physics applied to it and stuff. So it's pretty satisfying.
Something that I neglected to mention earlier as far as the co-op goes is the way the quests work. You can actually reset the world state to be on a different quest since, you know, the game is very more narrative-driven now. So, like, I had already beaten the beta, but I wanted to show everybody the final boss. And when you beat the beta, it actually kicks you back with your same character, but it resets the world. So you start back with the basic quests undone. And, the cool thing about it is I could actually change it back to the quest where it leads up to you killing the final boss and invite a bunch of my friends and they would be on that quest. And you could repeat all the content and see it, and it's basically set up so that you could do boss runs,
yeah,
pretty easily.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So I liked that a whole bunch, and you know what else I liked? I didn't see any puppies, kittens, or rainbows the entire time we played.
Yeah, what did I? It was unicorns.
Unicorns.
No unicorns. No what did I? No rainbows. No unicorns. Not even a pony.
Yes. It's very suitably dark. Enemies explode in showers of gore. My personal favorite is the spell, Wave of Force, that the wizard has sends, like, this shockwave out, in an area of effect, and it'll knock the skin off of enemies.
Oh, that'll hurt.
So, like, there would be, like, a bunch of zombies around them, and I'd activate it, and they'd all get tossed away. And the skin would be flayed from their bodies, and it would just leave these bloody skeletons on the ground.
Nice.
It's very gory. It's not quite as, you know, I've been playing through Diablo 2, and, you know, there's some real, like, pits of, you know, disemboweled bodies lying everywhere. So it's not quite that as grim dark as Diablo 2 could get, but it's definitely moody and foreboding, I'd say.
Yeah, so that beta, it's gonna last through the winter. They announced the 2012 release date for Diablo 3, early 2012.
First quarter.
Yeah, so over time they're gonna be letting more and more people in. So if you have a Battle.net account, make sure you sign in there and opt in for the betas, and you might get an email from Blizzard in the next couple of weeks to get in and check it out for yourself. Hopefully they'll be adding more content as well. I guess some of the people that were in the Friends and Family beta, that was just before this kind of first public offering went out.
Yeah.
They said that when this went live, it added new content, actually. So we might actually see updates over time for it.
I'd be willing to bet that the competitive side gets its own phase of the beta.
Oh, yeah, definitely that.
Yeah. Anyway.
I was just going to say, I'm really kind of, you know, having played World of Warcraft now and seeing how they do the updates and stuff in that, I really, 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 really hope Blizzard will do that with Diablo 3.
Yes.
And, oh, my God.
I had actually been saying that before with my friends. I was saying, you know, if they could, even if they just did like micro expansions, because you're paying a monthly fee with WoW.
Yeah.
But so say every 3 or 4 months they do like a DLC pack. Yeah. That gives you more content to do, and they charge, you know, $5-$10 for it. That would be nice. But I get the feeling we're going to have to wait until they actually sell us a $30 expansion. I don't want to, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I even hope, maybe they'll even add, small bits of content for free. Like, it doesn't even have to be, new quests. Like, maybe it's new item types or something.
They'll probably do that, because that's how they handled Diablo 2 patches. They'd throw in, every time the Battle.net ladder reset, they changed what the runes you could get were.
Right.
And things like that. So little stuff, I feel, should be expected.
Yeah.
All anyway, right. let's wrap up, because I gotta put my daughter to bed.
Damn kids.
Darn kids. Let's talk about some upcoming co-op releases, because there are a few, although not all of them might be up your alley. For instance, tomorrow on the 27th, we have Cabela's Big Game Hunter 2012 for all of the systems that you'd want to care about. Castlevania HD is finally coming to PSN. And Jane's Advanced Strike Fighters, surprise, comes out as well for PC, PS3, and 360. I see on actually 9/28.
Okay, so
that's Wednesday, is Team Fortress 2 Arcade. So I guess we'll be on the lookout for that. On the 4th of October is Payday the Heist on PSN. You know, get your suit-wearing clown bank heist action on. And or you could just watch the first 5-10 minutes of Dark Knight and call it a day. Rage is out on PS3, PC, and 360, as well as Dark Souls, which I am really, 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 really looking forward to, because I was a huge fan of Demon's Souls, and I know Andrew was as well. As far as reviews, we had many. We actually had a week where there was a review a day. So we went over Driver San Francisco, Ugly Americans, Apocalypse Ageddon, which is, you know, pretty close to winning my Bad Name of the Year award. Resistance 3, The Gunstringer, Renegade Ops, Gears of War 3, and the Xbox Live Arcade port of Radiant Silver Gun. There was a review for Bunch of Heroes, which is, you know, a bunch of bananas. I don't know. It just sounds weird to me. And Lead Me's, which is kind of a weird name, and then I kind of put together that that's probably what the little dudes in the name are called. In the game are called.
Yeah.
As far as features, we had our Diablo 3 beta impressions that Nick put up on Friday. Starting today, we are doing a class overview for every other class in the beta. So the wizard went up today, and there'll be articles for the next 4 throughout the week. Some impressions for the Ratchet and Clank All for One beta.
That was real. You know, I forgot to include that on what you've been playing, but that really impressed me.
Good.
It's a lot of fun.
Good. Mark wrote a write-up about tabletop co-op this is a new recurring article, right?
Yeah, he's going to start doing that monthly, basically.
Yeah, so this is for Space Hulk Death Angel. It's a card game that I actually own as well. I picked it up at PAX East, and with the intent of playing it during PAX East with, Kat and Nick, and we just never got around to it. So I'm glad someone finally got around to doing a write-up. And Jason did another Indiana co-op, and this one was called The Perplexing Parasitus. We have mobile phone apps. There's a Windows 7 app that Nick put together, and we have an Android app as well.
Coming soon, we are going to have an iPhone app.
Excellent.
So it is being created as we speak. So.
Excellent. You can buy some shirts from our Split Reason affiliate store. Leave us feedback on iTunes. We like those 5-star reviews. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at Co-Optimus. And why don't you leave us a voicemail? We actually got one last week.
We got one from somebody that left us one before and was so excited that we put it in the show. He had to leave more.
So we'll probably get to more of those in the future, but if you want to leave us a line, it is 646-926-6748. And I got to go put my kid to bed, so this has been the Co-Opticast for September 26th. I'm Mike, that's Nick, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Laters.